Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 15, 2020. To my students, friends, and followers. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, June 15, 2020. We are living in a special time. The hidden connections that tie us all into one whole have emerged and demand our attention. At such a time, we are all accountable, we are responsible for one another. What each of us does, says, and thinks, impacts every single person, and the whole planet. For this reason, now we must pursue unity more than ever before. We must pursue it above all that separates us: race, color, religion, gender, language, culture, history, literacy, mentality, and character. We are one body, one organism, and in an organism, there is no hatred among the organs, only love, respect, and gratitude to each organ for carrying out its unique role. Now that we are all connected, we can see that we, humanity, are just like any organism. We are all dependent on each other, and we must therefore cherish one another. When we help each other grow and express each one's uniqueness, we are not doing it for another person, we are doing it for ourselves. When each of us is happy, all of us are happy. This is how it works in an organism. And when we work as an organism, we will discover the power that exists in unity. This power, which enables all of reality to work in harmony, exists among us. If we build our connections in congruence with this power, we will feel it filling up the cavities between us. Then, all hatred and anguish will cease. In these special times, every person in humanity is summoned to partake in the unity, and spread it far and wide. The wider we spread it, the more we will feel it. For this reason, I am asking all my friends, students, and followers to please share this message. Share the posts on my page wherever you can, place them on your wall and in groups where you are members. You are not doing this for yourselves, you are doing this for the world, to spread unity and love the world over. Never before has spreading love and unity been more pressing and essential than it is today. By doing so, you are healing humanity from hatred, you are ushering in solidarity, friendship, and happiness at a time of great transformation. It is in your hands to determine if we go through it pleasantly and easily, or painfully and slowly. Please spread the word, Michael. New Life 1232. Advancing toward a new lifestyle.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Leitman about going back to routine. Dr. Leitman, on my way here to the studio and as I was preparing myself for this meeting, I felt that I had mixed feelings. On the one hand, there's a serious relief, like there was this big stone that was sitting on my heart and it was moved a bit. I can start breathing and, you know, the feeling that you're all the time on the verge of an anxiety attack is kind of leaving the more we go back to routine. On the other hand, when you think about these things deeply, the rat race that we lived in up until now that we took a break from against our own will, turns out, but before the coronavirus, life wasn't exactly heaven. So on the one hand, you know, we're happy because there's a relief and we're going back to routine. On the other hand, life back then wasn't that great. So how do you see this? That on the one hand, we're happy about it, but on the other hand, you know, I personally or in general? Because for me it's hard to speak on a personal level. I'm old, I'm retired. No, no, I don't mean retired people. I mean people in my situation, in the midst of life, help me understand the situation that I'm in a bit, where there's this combination between happiness and joy and relief on the one hand. On the other hand, life before the virus wasn't that great, so why are we so happy to go back to it? It's kind of complex. I think that people don't understand where they are. The thing is that there is a real lack of understanding that we are incorrectly developing in an egoistic society that is advancing or developing from blow to blow, from crisis to crisis. And this way, eventually, we can't achieve anything. We're just running away a bit from life every time, from the blows, from different quarries that we have from morning till evening. All in all, no one enjoys this life. And a person's born against his own will, lives against his own will, and dies against his own will. So, therefore, I don't think that it's good for anything. But you see that everyone lives their life this way, so accept life that that's how it is. I have no choice. I simply have to see how to more correctly fit into this great big market of human beings. I don't think that it's the right approach, that this is the right way to live life, but this is what we were used to. Now came the coronavirus, and for the first time in human history, we started feeling that we're a part of one humanity, because this is a blow that came to everyone. That as if there is one human body, the head, suppose, are in the United States, and the bodies in England, and the hands are in Russia and South America, and the feet are in Australia, and suddenly this body all at once gets a blow, and another one, and another. And it's not that just one part gets the blow and then another and so on, but really it goes over everyone. Only like in our body, each of the organs feels pain, the pain, differently, feels the blow differently. And this is what happened. So the coronavirus, it gave us a feeling of connection, that we're all interconnected between us and with this single mechanism, and this is really tremendous, that suddenly the whole world was shook up. Not because the oil prices dropped, and not because of something, because a volcano exploded or some tsunami or something. It's not that some part of the system experienced, but all of the systems stopped working. Not because of them, but because of the human factor. The human factor, meaning that man stopped working, functioning. And this is something that never happened before, to this extent, that it's worldwide, and that it's because of man, that man is the one who's ill, that it is man that can't function. And this is testimony to the fact that we have to think about human society as a single system, that we're all interconnected and interdependent, and we really have to mutually care about each other. And there's no more place or room for competition here. Otherwise, there will come more and more such viruses. Therefore, the way it came out, it's, I'd say that it's a real savior to mankind. It's not a virus, but it is the revelation to the entire world that our society, that the human society is one integral society that is interconnected on all sides and all ways, and it can't be that someone feels good and on the other side someone feels bad, but it's either everyone feels good or everyone feels bad, and this is thanks to this blow. And therefore, in the eruption of the coronavirus, COVID-19, I don't see anything bad about it, but to the contrary, it's a cure. It cures humanity somewhat, to start perceiving things correctly. You said that it healed humanity a bit. We're starting to go back to routine. Businesses are going back to business, more services, organizations are going back to work. Oh, we keep our distance and not get infected and so on, but gradually we're going back to routine. There's a feeling that it's not yet that clear, but there is the beginning of a feeling that as if we went through something like this cloud came down upon us called Corona, locked us in, and suddenly, you know, like clouds in the sky, it dissipates as if it was never here. How do you see this? I see the complete opposite. I see that what happened, that how things were, it'll never return to how things were. It's not that we're going back to how things were, but actually now we will scrutinize and examine how things were, and we will find out that we can't go back to what we had. You can't go twice into the same river, the saying goes. And we can't go back to the same competitive life where we develop different things. No. To the contrary, we are working within the systems of nature, only we're not that aware of it and we don't really feel it. But the systems of nature today are different than how they were before the coronavirus. They will not allow us to use our evil ego to our detriment the way we did before. What kind of systems exactly are you talking about? That we're all interconnected, interdependent. You see how this virus that went over us, how it suddenly gave everyone a blow. All in all, we're all connected. Our biological bodies are connected to one system that is working above our bodies, tying all of us together, and something that happens in one place suddenly happens in another place and in another, in villages that completely have no connection to civilization. Suddenly there, the virus appears. Where did it come from? It didn't pass from person to person, meaning there is a system here that's working, and when it reaches a certain state, then it emits this problem called the coronavirus. The system of nature, you mean? Yes, the system of nature. And therefore, it won't help us that we want to go back to the previous state. You can't. Never in history was it possible to go back to our previous state. Also in our relationships, we understand in the relations between us that we can't go back, only forward. What change do you see in the relations or relationships between people? When we were confined to our homes during the quarantine, we saw plenty of things that you don't usually see. Plenty of solidarity, people helping each other, mutual responsibility. We saw young people helping older people. We saw people helping people that are alone because they can't go out, because they're... We saw plenty of good things. Now that we're going back to routine, maybe all of these good and positive emotions and actions that we saw between people might be erased again. And we'll all go back to living in our small shell, and that's it. How do you see the future relationships between people? I see that if people will listen to what nature wants to tell them, then what follows is that they will understand that we're all interconnected, that everyone's interconnected, that everyone's interdependent, that everyone determines each other's future. Because it all stems from that the entire universe, not only our planet, but the entire universe, is one integral system. And if we live in this great still of the whole of reality, and then on our planet, that's also still develops the vegetative, the animate, and the speaking level, then we have to see this as an integral system in which we're all interdependent, that we all determine these states, and therefore everything that we did before, we were in a very extended historic period, the history of our ego that has developed us up to the state called the recognition of evil. And we have actually reached our recognition of evil. Everyone's discontent with life. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're smart or not, if you're strong or ill or young or old, no one is content with this life that you're born into against your will. You live through against your own will and die against your own will. We have to actually examine and seriously re-examine our entire life. And the coronavirus really helped us in this regard because it showed us that we're interconnected, that all in all, we're living on this planet as a group, as one group of created beings called human beings. And that it's good for us to think about the fact that we're all interconnected, interdependent. And if so, what should we do? We should build such a society in which we will not be in competition with each other, because surely no one gains anything as a result, and all of our forces go to waste. We waste them on being in competition, hoping to kill each other. And really, how foolish can people be to think this way, to want to kill someone else? And in that, a person sees his good future, his good fortune. Enough already. We have to come to a different state already. It's true that we have an ego, and this ego does not give us the ability to connect in a nice and easy way and develop correctly. But still, we as human beings can deal with our evil nature, with our bad nature, and above it, above this level, to build a different level, a good level. And then we will see that there is no going back to how things were. Going back for what? Did it make us any happier? Were we happy about the children that we give birth to? What world are we bringing them into? A world of competition, a world of danger, a world of lies, of hate. And therefore, ahead of us, there is an opportunity now that we think, we have to think, what kind of a reality do we want to come to? Not go back to, but to come to. So here, we have to feel this new reality that has to be. Maybe we can depict to ourselves, dream, imagine, envision what kind of reality should we have, and let's see that we're capable of doing it. Whereas to go back to how things were, we simply can't. We don't have the forces to do it, the money, nothing. We can't go back to how life was, but we'll only spend our efforts and forces on it, and we'll go into such frictions, and we'll reach a third world war, in short. Look, I really, you said, let's envision this, let's imagine the reality that we want to live in, and let's start advancing toward it. But even though that we would really like for this to come true, we have no picture of such a world. The world that we're familiar with is the world that we disconnected from a few months ago, and now we're gradually going back to it. All of these processes of developing a new awareness, understanding, and especially new relationships between people, you see them happening as inner changes inside a person that gradually will now see appearing on the surface, because up until now everything was closed and now we're starting to open everything. You don't really see these deep, profound changes like you're describing. So where is this change taking place? Inside a person, gradually it'll surface. In practice, we will see that we can't go back. Can't go back how? Now they're reopening. You can't. Because everyone comes up and says, I lost this and that, and I lost this, and he lost that, and give me money. And you can't give everyone what they want, what they need. You know the kinds of debts that countries are in already. They have to sell themselves off to China, and also China doesn't have enough money to cover for the debts of the US and Europe and everyone. Look, I'm sure that economists will invent some kind of magic something. We had the debt before too. To erase debts. Erase debts like in the 50th year, like it is in Jewish tradition. I don't know what tactics will they use, and also it doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is the change itself. You're talking about big hope. You have envisioned some great hope and a beautiful horizon that we'd wish to be on, only the feeling is that the world that previously we froze, we're now simply releasing the pause, and what was closed is starting to reopen. So I don't see this big shift, this big development toward a new horizon, but you are talking about something great that's on the horizon, a new life. What gives you this optimism? Lack of choice? We have no other choice. Since we are in an integral nature, we have no other choice but to relate this way to ourselves and to also arrange ourselves this way. On the levels of the still vegetative and the animate, you have an integral system that everyone is in different states, but all in all is in a single, round, closed nature. Whereas people, they breach these boundaries, the limits of nature. They come out of the animate level into the speaking level, and there they're really having a ball with their ego. destroying everything, advancing from war to war, fight to fight, every moment. Do you think that this is going to change? This is exactly what I'm asking about, advancing from fight to fight, from moment to moment. Do you see changes here? I think that here we are in a very important point, decisive point. Either we stop developing egoistically according to the education, according to an education and a system of laws that we accept. And it goes together, the system of laws and education, they go together, because we have to all the time discuss. We can use this, we can't use that, in one way or another. To what measure can we limit ourselves, and how much freedom can we give ourselves for all ages, states, and so on. And when we discuss these things all the time, we advance, we're developing. The only thing is that we want to have these discussions above our own ego. What do you mean by discussions above our self-interest, ego? Meaning that we come out of the assumption that human society, it has to be round. It has to be an integral part of the integral nature. And that, therefore, we have to change. Precisely because of our ego that does not allow us to do this, that is resisting this all the time, we have to teach ourselves and to take another step toward connection. You talked a lot about nature. I want to ask, now that we're going back to routine, do you think that something's going to change in our attitude toward nature? Yes. We have to... You mean our own nature or the environment? Well, the nature around us. Of course. What do you think will change? We use nature only to our own benefit, the benefit of our own ego. It's not to our benefit. Look what we did. Look at the world, how littered and broken it is. Everyone knows. So this is how we have to continue living our life. We have no other planet. We have to live our life here on Earth. And look, for 2 months, we kind of stopped our activity around the world and see what happened. See what things turned into. The world, the air, the ozone layer, the sun, everything. Look, domestic animals, birds. I'm hearing birds, you know? You hear birds? Lately I hear birds. Really, they're happy. And I'm living in an industrial area. And suddenly the industry kind of fell asleep. And birds and whatnot. You have animals, wild animals, walking around the streets. Look how quickly we can go back to nature. And all this probably is going to come to an end because we're going back to routine. We will not be able to. The wheels are moving forward. No, no, no. Only seems to that way. Were it in the hands of a man, then surely we would have been confused by our managers, our governments, and they would have forced us to go back to being slaves of this entire system. But it won't happen. It won't happen because in this entire process of nature, the process of nature has an engine of its own. There's an engine to this entire process, and according to this engine, we have to advance, and there's no going back. We can try to go back to how things were, but look how much suffering, money, problems, disasters, tension, if not a world war, will we have to pay by in order to go back to our routine. But there is no going back. You can't dip twice in the same river. Unfortunately, our time's up. Last question. When you're saying that there's no going back and you can't dip twice in the same river, what river would you like for us to go into now to advance toward what? Every man, every person, and all of us together, this integral image of man has to be before our eyes, has the goal that we will do good for every time. Very profound. Let's think about this during the day. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Till next time, all the best.
Exodus from Egypt by the whole world. The sages of the times of the Talmud made corrections in the common soul, which made it easier for the Creator to be revealed, for which bodily restrictions are no longer required. You can eat whatever you want and as much as you like, the main thing is to fill your thoughts and heart with the Torah. And in our generation, the study of the science of Kabbalah has become even more accessible. Everyone can learn. There is no prohibition of any kind, and Kabbalah is revealed to the whole world, not just to Jews. Today we return to the true definitions of the science of Kabbalah, Israel, Jews, the Torah, which existed in ancient Babylon in the group of Abraham, but now they apply to all of humanity. These definitions acquire a spiritual, not a corporeal meaning. Any person can engage in Kabbalah, overcome their egoism, and strive for the Creator, no matter where a person was born, in Japan, China, or Syria. Everyone can work attracting the reforming light, and correct the world. And we see how the blows, Egyptian plagues, unfolding in the world are becoming more and more integral. It is already impossible to separate Israel from the nations of the world. Look at the situation in the US, the unrest and problems. And the same thing in other countries as well. The whole world is stirred up. We are just starting this process of the coronavirus, but it has already brought everyone to the realization of their complete helplessness. No one knows what to do or understands where we are or how to get out of these problems. There is nowhere to go as if we were tied hand and foot. The virus is taking fewer lives than any war. But it completely binds us and leaves us no chance to move. The world does not know what to do, and it is looking for a way out of this situation and for somebody to show the way. This is happening in all countries. People think that the first wave of the epidemic has passed and the quarantine can be lifted until the next wave arrives. But who said that we can already make our lives easier? Have we made the necessary corrections? Have we brought ourselves in line with the integral and global nature? Have we made improvements in human society? None of this has happened. So why do we deserve relief? We have not acted in the right direction. We can say that our generation has a new Torah because in all the previous generations it was personal, individual. And today the Torah is becoming global and integral, which obliges us to become like the global and integral nature. All of humanity must do this, but this demand is growing gradually, step by step. If it were immediately required from all people, it would completely shatter us. Therefore, it grows gradually, like with a child from whom more and more is demanded every coming year according to his age. It is the same with us. But this is a new state. The last generation from which there is nowhere to escape. We must realize our mission, which cannot be avoided, and bring all of humanity to a global, integrated system due to the returning light flowing through our group into the world. This is called integral education, which builds from us an integral system in which everyone is connected to each other. The word Torah means instruction, or guidance on the way. It is a complete guide describing all our descents and ascents, all our relations between us and with the Creator, and most importantly, this is a means to draw the light of correction from above, from the corrected system of the common soul of Adam HaRishon into our broken system. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson June 1, 2020, the approach to studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. Up the 125 steps of faith. Faith above reason is the spiritual stage that we need to build on top of our current stage, which is called reason. At the higher level, it is not me ruling with my desires, sensations, and reason, only the Creator rules. This is the highest level for me in which there is none but the Creator, the good that doth good. It is called the level of faith. I can relate to it provided that I believe, that is, I acquire the property of bestowal or bina. I rise above myself and say, I have eyes, but do not see. I have ears, but do not hear, that is, I accept the authority of the Creator. And, as far as I can decide for myself that only the Creator acts in all of reality, my spiritual level of faith is higher than reason. Therefore, all of our work, from this moment to the end of correction, is to achieve a greater and greater degree of faith above reason. There are a total of 125 steps to climb so that each time our power of bestowal, which is called faith, outweighs the power of reception, which is called reason. After all, we do not understand the Creator and do not feel Him. Each time, we must comprehend Him from scratch, coming from a state of the complete unknown and insensibility to a state of reason and sensation, that is, from an unconscious state into a state of consciousness. And, therefore, I must fully accept the governance of the Creator, it reigning over my whole world. This is called faith. I hold, as far as I can, in the knowledge and the feeling that the Creator is the only ruler in the world. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson May 20, 2020, Writings of Rabash concerning above reason. What pleasures is the post-coronavirus era preparing? Question: can a person live without pleasure? Answer: no. Every minute of one's existence, a person seeks pleasure. Question: what new kinds of pleasures, in your opinion, will appear in the era of the coronavirus? We see that the old forms of pleasure from gathering in cafes and restaurants and from trips abroad are most likely to disappear. Answer: it is gradually leaving, but not because we desire it or not. Nature is programmed in such a way that all these pleasures in us are gradually changing. Therefore, those types of pleasures that we enjoyed in the 20th century gradually disappear in the 21st. What pleasures come instead? We'll wait and see. I believe that these will be the delights of proper communication with one another, in which we will reveal the next level of existence and begin to fill the mind and heart with a sensation of an upper life. Question: do you think that sitting together, communicating, and revealing deeper layers of our interconnectedness is the greatest pleasure? Answer: speaking in plain language, this is a psychological pleasure from the fact that we feel how nature works on us, how it interacts with us, how we influence it, and how it affects us. Question: so all problems can be solved only by changing the relationship between people? And can we prove it? Answer: there is no need to prove anything. We will see it from life. But isn't it like that today? If there were no problems between people, how much better would our world be? Comment: on one hand, it seems to be so, but on the other hand, it is not clear to people that united together, we will somehow be able to influence the lower layers of nature. My response: this must be explained. And since we exist in an integral nature, It is not so difficult to explain. The whole cosmos and we, our body, our society, everything is arranged according to the principle of the integral interaction of the parts. The only thing that breaks out of the framework of the global, integral system is a person, not with a physical, but with a moral device, an attitude toward others. This attitude to the other, to outside of himself, he must put in order. Question: do you think it will be possible to prove that if people unite now, they will immediately see some kind of beneficial effect of nature on us, and vice versa, if they disconnect, then some cataclysms will begin? Or will it still happen not so explicitly? Answer: this will not happen so explicitly, but we can accelerate this process with our explanations. After all, in principle, we have such an opportunity. And all sorts of viruses will help us. From CabTV's The Age of Post-Coronavirus, April 23, 2020. Two Trends in the Life of the Jewish Diaspora, Part 3. Why do Jews hate their root? Remark: the first inquisitors in Spain were of Jewish origin. As it is written in historical documents, a special zeal in eradicating heresy was displayed by the confessor of Queen Isabella, who himself descended from a Maranos family, the first Grand Inquisitor Thomas Torquemada. In addition, the initiator of founding the Spanish Inquisition was Alonso de Spina, a French monk of Jewish origin. And the Judaizer Diego became the second Inquisitor General after Torquemada. My reply: naturally. The most terrible anti-Semites are, first of all, the Jews who hate their root. They feel that it is spiritual. It is too high, opposite to this world, and therefore, they have an urgent desire to get rid of it. But since they cannot do it, it all turns into a terrible hatred toward their own people. Remark: looking back at the reasons for the Spanish tragedy of exile, we clearly see that they are not of economic or religious nature. My reply: there is no justification for this. It is absolutely irrational. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 29, 2019. Jerusalem, the Heart of the World. Question: every year, we celebrate Jerusalem Day. Is this a Jewish holiday or is it for the whole world? What does it mean to you personally? Answer: I remember myself as a six-year-old child how I was brought up around my grandparents. One grandfather was religious and the other was a communist or an anti-believer. I was closer to the religious grandfather. And he would tell me about Jerusalem, about Israel. When I had come here and went to Jerusalem for the first time, I remembered how he had told me that Jerusalem was located on a mountain and that one had to climb in order to get there. Back then, it had really touched me to tears that my grandfather, who had died long ago, had dreamt about it. It was a generational dream, and here I, his grandson, got to go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a special place, the spiritual center of the world. Jerusalem is a certain point in the universe at which its vast spiritual forces are concentrated. I mean, it represents a spiritual point, not material. Question: you are not referring to the actual city of Jerusalem which is built there? Answer: no. Neither the world nor geography has anything to do with this. These stones are worthless. I hope no one is planning to build the third temple there. Even the Lubavitch Rebbe said, "Why do you need this? Will you open a museum there?" Comment: but it is said that the third temple will be erected by the whole world. My response: it will be erected by the whole world in our hearts. Jerusalem is the heart, that is, the concentration of all human desires, yearnings, and aspirations. And, within these desires, the temple will be erected, that is, such a state of desire, that is built on mutual love for each other. Within this love for each other, the highest power of love will be revealed, the general power of love called the Creator. We will build it. Question. So, for all who seek to come to this state, Jerusalem, is this the highest point? Answer, yes. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 18, 2020. Examining Nature's Laws. Baal-ha-Sulam, the Peace. Now it is vitally important for us to examine nature's laws, to know what it demands of us, lest it would mercilessly punish us. We have said that nature obligates humankind to lead a social life, and this is simple. But we need to examine the laws that nature obliges us to observe in that respect, meaning with respect to the social life. In general examination, we find that there are only two laws to follow in society. These can be called 1, reception, and 2, bestowal. This means that each member must, by nature, receive his needs from society and must benefit society through his work for its well-being. And if one breaks one of these two laws, he will be mercilessly punished. Question: how can a person build this balance within himself? Answer: we need to look at the things that happen in nature. Nature is a closed, integral, global system. On one hand, we are its highest part. On the other hand, we are the wisest part, which has free will. We do not act only according to our instincts, rather, we change ourselves, the environment around us, and thus, we ourselves are changing. We can educate ourselves. After all, we are not only animals, but also created beings above the animals. We need to take this into account and try to act in a way that is good for us and for our children. From CapTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020. Toward the New Relationship. Baal-ha-Sulam, a speech for the completion of the Zohar. This is what our sages said: let all your actions be for the Creator, that is, dvekut with the Creator. Do not do anything that does not promote this goal of dvekut. This means that all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit your fellow person. At that time, you will achieve equivalence of form with the Creator, as all his actions are to bestow and to benefit others, so you, all your actions will be only to bestow and to benefit others. This is the complete dvekut. And we could ask about it: how can one's every action be to benefit others? After all, one must work to sustain oneself and one's family. Question: we are saying that unnecessary economic sectors, unnecessary occupations, and the excess that we produce will soon disappear. How can a person grasp this situation? Where can he apply himself if his profession becomes unnecessary? Answer: nature consists of 4 levels, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. What is the difference between human and animal nature? After all, according to the structure of our body, we are certainly animals, with the small addition that we must create a certain society and conditions for ourselves. We cannot live only in our skin, we have to dress. We cannot eat ready-made products of nature, we must somehow process them, cook them. We are ill and must be treated with all sorts of medications. In other words, although man is more developed than the animal species closest to him, at the same time, to this extent and even more, he is flawed. If we look at how animals behave, they have a very large social circle. We just do not fully understand their environment. A person does not communicate with their own kind. He is only concerned with his own interests, for example, football and similar things, in general, anything but improving their relationships. Animals, both young and adults, devote most of their time to the development of their relationships, games, etc., and this is very much missed by people because they go to any area, just not to encounter each other. As we do not scrutinize and do not get closer to each other over our bad relationships, we suffer. After all, in principle, we do not perform what nature considers necessary. More than 100% of the time allotted to us in life, we spend on completely unnecessary things. For example, every day we spend 10 hours at work, and in nature, for example, 2 to 3 hours are programmed. But then what do I do the rest of the time? Animals devote this time to their relationships. They rest together, lie in the sun, wander along paths, sit in the trees. What are we doing? We do not devote time to so-called leisure, although it is not leisure, but the clarification of relationships with nature and with each other, and therefore our condition is deplorable. We need to think carefully and decide how we will live when this complex, global, and integral virus recedes and gives us the opportunity to get closer to each other in a new way. Nature is integral, it does nothing in vain, everything in it is provided for. Therefore, everything that is happening now is intended to clarify the further interaction of all its parts. It is moving only toward even greater interaction. It turns out that we should pay attention to our mismatches and how we can lead to more correct, better relationships. I hope that humanity will be ready for this. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020.